Right Kind of Book Talk. I'm your host, Stacey Wright. Woo! It's finally May. My youngest child turns 5 this week, so the house is literally running on pure excitement and chaos in equal measures. My bonus daughter graduates from high school soon, so congratulations to her on a successful school career. How has your reading week been? Mine was not so brilliant. But I did get some reading in, and some of the books cleared off my TBR that have been sitting there for a while, so yay me! The Lola Lorien has settled in nicely, and the whole house is completely besotted with her. Now, me personally, I like books that make me laugh out loud. So this week, it's episode 23, Books to Make You Pee Your Pants. Well, maybe not literally, but you will feel the belly burn from all the laughing you're going to do. I thought because last week I brought the tears, that this week I could bring you some laughs. The kind of books that will make you laugh so hard, you'll have tears streaming down your face. Those are the best kind of laughs. But before we dive in, let's have a quick recap of my reading week. Now, I think I'm going to start with the audiobooks that I spent the week listening to. And I started out with a debut novel called The Thrashers by Julie Soto. Now, this book is about a girl, her name's Jody, and she was never meant to be one of them. Julian, Lucy, Paige, and the infamous Zach Thrasher are rich, sophisticated, and love attention. Jody feels out of place, but being that she's Zach's best friend from childhood, she's automatically in. Now, then there's Emily Mills. She desperately wants to be a Thrasher, but then she dies. And the whispers about the Thrashers begin. As Emily's journal surfaces, detectives close in, and Jody faces an impossible choice: betray her friends or protect herself. But as eerie messages and strange occurrences escalate, it becomes clear. Emily isn't done with them yet. Yeah. You know, like debuts are hit or miss. Like sometimes they miss the mark. And this one was a tad slow in spots, like just a little bit like patchy for me. But all in all, I enjoyed the heck out of it. But it was great. Great narration. Then I went to Another Fine Mess by Lindy Ryan. So the Evans women have an important job, okay? Making sure the dead stay buried. After the loss of two of their family members, it's up to Luna and Lenore to keep the fight going. Trouble is, something is out there tearing people to shreds. It's not something they've seen before, but the trouble is coming right to their door. And they're the only ones who can fight whatever monster it is and keep the town safe. Oh my God, it was so good. Now, it's book two of Bless Your Heart. And I really enjoyed like the Southern vampire charm. Like, I don't know if this is even a thing. It's like a cozy horror. It was really worth the listen. And if you're hearing a little like squeaky noise, that's the dog. She's squeaking a squeaker. It's adorable. I love it. Okay, so next was Such a Good Mum by Julie Spiro. Bryn is struggling with motherhood and being a wife. Her husband has been withdrawn, and she can't manage to do her job around the baby. When a waitress at the country club is found murdered, the tragedy hits her closer to home. Her husband's been arrested for the murder, and it really looks like he did it. But Brent isn't so sure, and she will stop at nothing to find the truth. Now, this book had some really magic moments. Like, Bryn, for me, was the selling point of the whole story, and the narration was amazing, amazing. And then I listened to First Time Caller by BK Borison. So Aidan Valentine has a secret. He's fallen out of love with love. And as a host of Baltimore's romance hotline, that's a bit of a problem. But when a young girl calls into the station asking for dating advice for her mother, the interview goes viral, thrusting Aidan and heartstrings into the limelight. Lucy Stone thought she was doing just fine. She has a good job, an incredible family, and a smart, slightly devious child. When all of Baltimore is suddenly scrutinizing her love life, or lack thereof, she begins to question if she's as happy as she thought. Maybe a little more romance wouldn't be such a bad thing. But everyone wants Lucy to find her happy ending, even the handsome, temperamental man calling all the shots. But when sparks start to fly behind the scenes, Lucy must make the final call between the radio-sponsored Happily Ever After or the man in the headphones next to her. Now, I love this one. It was too dang cute. All right, now we've done my audiobooks, we're going to do the physical books that I read. So I started out with The Maid's Secret by Nita Prose. Molly the Maid is booked! Molly Gray never thought her life would look like this. Head maid and special events manager at her beloved Regency Hotel, engaged to Juan and planning her wedding. Everything is as perfect as can be. That is until the antiquity show, Hidden Treasures, comes to the hotel and discovers that Molly has a treasure. But while the auction is running to sell her treasure, somebody manages to steal it. The only answer seems to be the clues in the diary from her deceased grandmother. Oh my God, I love this installment. I am a massive fan of this series, and you really can't go wrong with Molly at all. Okay, and then I moved on to A Proposal to Die For by Molly Harper. Jessamyn Bricker loves a plan. Contingency plans, pros and con lists, those are her love language. And because of that, her proposal planning business is thriving. But with rent costs rising at her office building, Jess jumps to the chance to plan a proposal between her snobby high school classmate Diana and her very wealthy boyfriend, Trenton Tillard IV. Woo! Roped into joining Diana's pre-bridal retreat at the exclusive Golden Ash Resort, Jess hopes to fade into the background, get some work done, and maybe find some time to unwind. Their first date is anything but relaxing. Diana is furious about the mountain spa's lack of cell phone reception. And then there's the couple next door who is continuously arguing. And Jess swears she just saw a drug deal go down. To top it all off, she was warned to stay out of the woods by the gruff and sexy chef, Dean Osborne. So, is this a retreat or a horror movie? As Jess tries to do her job while placating the pride-to-be and her increasingly over-the-top demands, she spends more and more time with the resort's owners, finding herself much more in tune with the laid-back Osborne family than her social-climbing boss. Between a meditation garden-related drowning and Jess's discovery of a body in a sauna, it's clear that deadly secrets abound at the Golden Ash. Now it's up to Jess to unravel the mysteries in the mountains before all her plans are cancelled permanently. Okay, it was definitely worth the read. It had some really great moments and some really excellent moments. I wasn't a massive fan of Jess, but you know what? As far as the storyline went, it was still a really good book. Okay, so then I moved on to The Cornish Witch by Eleanor Collins. So when Megan's father gets a letter containing a secret from the past, he asks her to go to the Cornish village of St. Morgan's Cove to get to the bottom of the mystery. Megan is happy to take a holiday after a challenging year, but as soon as she checks into the ship inn, something feels amiss. There are noises in the room above. The locals tell tales of smugglers and shipwrecks, and she can't escape the story of a witch who waits and watches, weeping on the top of a cliff. 1625. Susanna and her daughter Catel live a contented life. But without the protection of her husband and father, Susanna fears for Catel's future as she blossoms into womanhood. The fishing community of St. Morgan is close-knit, but when misfortune arrives to the cove, it's not long before villagers are looking for someone to blame. And when talk turns to witches, yeah, Susanna knows she and Catel are no longer safe. Now, can Megan bring peace to St. Morgan and to the two women who have been brokenhearted for centuries? Yeah, this book was, It sucked me right in right from the beginning. The writing was phenomenal. It was, yeah, I enjoyed the heck out of it. And then I read The Ghost Wood by C.J. Cook. Now this one, in the middle of the woods, stands a house called Lichen Hall. This place is shrouded in folklore, old ghost stories, old witch stories, and of a child who is not quite a child. Now, the woods are creepy, and they're creeping closer, and something has been unleashed. Paul Gorman arrives in 1965, one of a string of young women sent to Lichen Hall to give birth, and she soon suspects the proprietors are hiding something. Then she meets the mysterious mother and young boy who live in the grounds, and together they begin to unpick the secrets of the place. As the truth comes to the surface and the darkness moves in, Pearl must rethink everything she thought she knew and risk what she holds most dear. Dudes, my dudes, okay? This was probably the best book of the month for me, maybe even the entire year. It was so good. And then I actually managed to squeeze in two non-fictions. So yeah, I guess I didn't have too bad of a month, but it still wasn't as good a week as I would have liked. So the first one was The Difference That Makes a Difference by Josh Davis, PhD. Now this book was a real eye-opener, okay? I had no idea about neuro-linguistic programming. No clue what it meant, no clue what it was. But this book will do things like help you to communicate more confidently. And I was like, yes, I'm out for some of that. It will teach you how to learn and master new skills through modeling excellence. It was really interesting. The only thing that was really irritating was the formatting. Like, it felt like there was too much information on a page and no room to write anything. Like, I couldn't make notes. I couldn't use my sticky tabs. It was just, I don't know, there was no space, like, to do anything. Like, I wanted to take information and save it. And it was really quite difficult to do, which was probably my only gripe with the book. But there was some really excellent info in there. And I did, like, implement some of it, like, almost right away. Now, my favorite section was how to change someone else's mind, yours or theirs. Like, it tells you how to get along with people, how to change their mental image. Now, it was profoundly clever, in all honesty. Like, anyone who feels defeated should probably give this book a read. It could help you to bring more confidence to your life and give you the confident life you were dreaming of. Like, I really enjoyed it. It was a great book. And then I got The Beauty Molecule by Nicolas Perricone. He's an MD. So this book was literally all about fortifying your health on a more cellular level. But it's done in such a way that anyone can do it. Like, you don't have to be rich to be able to enjoy this book and the rewards that come with it. So what it does, it basically promotes food as medicine. Now, one of the things that I loved the most was the part about the hydrogen water. We drink it here. It is a huge game changer, okay? I have rheumatoid arthritis, so keeping the inflammation in my body down is a top priority for me, and it's something you can do too. Now, this book will help, okay? It's 21 days. Like, what do you have to lose? So what it provides you with is how to slow down your mitochondrial aging with powerful amino acids, because we don't get enough aminos. The hydrogen water, okay? That's the magic bullet for reversing cellular degeneration, restoring muscle tone, improving your noggin up here, and unlocking external radiance. Antioxidant 3.0, a next level approach to combating inflammation and promoting cellular renewal. It was, yeah, game changing. But also don't forget, it's publication day today. So let's see what books are out that you can buy today in your local independent bookstore. Okay, A Poisonous Silence by Jenny Adams. And that one is a historical mystery. All We Lost Was Everything by Sloane Harlow. And that one is a young adult romance thriller. Austin at Sea by Natalie Jenner, and that one is a historical fiction. I loved it. I had an ARC version of that. Brilliant. Closer Than You Think by Deborah Webb, and that one is a thriller. It's like a police procedural novel. They're pretty good. Daughters of the Tide by Kit Rocha, and it's a romantasy. Disco Witches, A Fire Island, and that one is an LGBTQ fantasy novel. What a mouthful. I Need You to Read This by Jessa Maxwell, and it's a psychological thriller. More Confessions of a 40-something Fuck-Up by Alexandria Potter, and it's a rom-com. Parents Weekend by Alex Finlay, and it's a psychological thriller. Brilliant book. Brilliant. I love the author. Love it. Silver Elite by Danny Francis, and that one is a dystopian romantasy, and I actually put this book as my book of the month pick for May. Okay, so I'm going to start off with a series that I find hilarious, and I just recently discovered it, okay? Vera Wang. So what I thought I would do is I would give you each book and then a wet your pants rating out of 5. Okay? Yeah, we've gone mental here today. So what is Vera about? Put the kettle on. There's a mystery a-brewing. Tea shop owner, matchmaker, detective. 60-year-old self-proclaimed tea expert Vera Wong enjoys nothing more than sipping a good cup of tea and doing some healthy detective work on the internet. Meaning she's checking up on her son to see if he's dating anybody yet. Yeah. Yeah. But when Vera wakes up one morning to find a dead man in the middle of her tea shop, it's going to take more than a strong cup of tea to fix things. Knowing she'll do a better job than the police possibly could, because nobody sniffs out wrongdoing quite like a suspicious Chinese mama with time on her hands, Vera decides it's time to catch a killer. Okay, like, I listened to the first one as an audiobook and I laughed so bloody hard, okay? Because nobody spills the tea like an amateur sleuth. It's hilarious. I loved the first book.
Playing from Stacey, it was called MacBook Air.
Vera, I'm sorry about that. My husband is dinging me to death. I loved the first book. Vera Wong's Unsolicited Advice for Murderers by Jess Q. Satanto. Now, the audiobook is where the magic is because it's hilarious, okay? Because you hear, like, you get the accents and stuff. It's brilliant. And I'm going to convince you to read these books, with some of my favorite quotes, okay? In her experience, it's best to nod and agree with what people say before doing exactly what you want from the very beginning. That's how she lives her life. The woman's eyebrows are statement brows, and the statement is, I am fucking fabulous, and don't you forget it. I love that one. Now, this one's my favorite. Nothing personal, Tilly, Vera says. It's just that you are very ugly baby. Yep, nothing personal about that, Ma. Oh, this and that, Vera says. After you breastfeed, no bra will be ever to control all the flopping. No, she's not wrong. She's not wrong. I am dying, okay? Dying. I gave that one 4 wet pants. I'm sorry for all the interruptions and all the bloody noise. It's not normally this bloody crazy here. Like, it's May and everyone's gone bonkers. Okay, if you've been listening to me for any length of time, you will know how I feel about Finlay Donovan. I am a big fan of Finlay and Vero and their banter. And it never fails to make me laugh. Now, I fell in love with the series from book one. And it's one of those series that just keeps getting funnier and funnier. So it starts out with Finlay Donovan is killing it. Except she's really not. She's a stressed out single mom of 2 and a struggling novelist. Finlay's life is in chaos. The new book she promised her literary agent isn't written. Her ex-husband fired the nanny without telling her. And this morning she had to send her 4-year-old to school with hair duct taped to her head after an incident with scissors. Now, when Finlay is overheard discussing the plot of her new suspense novel with her agent over lunch, she is mistaken for a contract killer and inadvertently accepts an offer to dispose of a problem husband in order to make ends meet. Soon, Finlay discovers that crime in real life is a lot more difficult than its fictional counterpart. Now, as she becomes tangled in a real-life murder investigation. Oh, okay, so here's some of my favorite quotes from the series. I'm hoping they convince you to read this because it's brilliant. It's a brilliant series, okay? Okay, so first quote. It's a widely known fact that most mums are ready to kill someone by 8:30 a.m. on any given morning. You know what? That is so bloody true. It's so true. Nick and Vero glanced up as my heels clicked into the kitchen. Vero looked confused. I'm sorry, do I know you? Because I thought I worked for a vampire in yoga pants. And if you ever listen to the audiobook, like, Vero's, the voice is brilliant. I can't do it justice, it's just brilliant, okay? She chuckled darkly. And to think you were worried about a damn shower curtain. Nothing says serial killer like a chest freezer in a garage. Okay. Fantasies where I let myself calculate how many economic size packs of Huggies, Lean Cuisines, and baby wipes $50,000 can buy. Yeah, I've done that. Okay. A ringtone starts deep in my diaper bag. We both turn to stare at it. Vero drew her sunglasses down her nose. Holy shit, I think you just manifested dessert. I took a step back. I'm on a diet. Okay, I'll stop. Because that is literally the tip of the comedy iceberg in that series. It's brilliant. Four and a half wet pants. It's brilliant. I'm telling you right now, you will not be sorry. Okay, so somebody recommended this one to me, and I just got the book from the library, and I'm probably about halfway through now. It's hilarious. It's dark humor. This book is dark, okay? And it's called Mother Thing by Ainsley Hogarth. Now, I know it's listed as a horror, okay? But it has some really hilarious moments in it, okay? So what is that about? When Ralph and Abby Lamb move in with Ralph's mother, Laura, Abby hopes it's just what she and her mother-in-law need to finally connect. After a traumatic childhood, Abby is desperate for a mother figure, especially now that she and Ralph are trying to become parents themselves. Oh, hang on. Oh, yeah. Abby has just so much love to give to Ralph, to Laura, and to Mrs. Bondi, her favorite resident at the long-term care home where she's currently working. But Laura isn't interested in bonding with her daughter-in-law. She's venomous and cruel, especially to Abby. And life with her is hell. Hell on earth. Now, when Laura takes her own life, her ghost haunts Abby and Ralph in very different ways. Ralph is plunged into depression, and Abby is terrorized by a force intent on destroying everything she loves. Now, to make matters worse, Mrs. Bondi's daughter is threatening to move Mrs. Bondi from the home, leaving Abby completely alone. With everything on the line, Abby comes up with a chilling plan that will allow her to keep Mrs. Bondi, rescue Ralph from his tortured mind, and break Laura's hold on the family for good. All it requires is a little ingenuity, a lot of determination, and a unique recipe for chicken a la king. Yeah. I'm going to try and convince you to read this one based on some of my favorite quotes. And don't forget that I haven't got all the way through yet, okay? But this one is, boys are boys, and they do what they want. Women want things too sometimes, but mostly they're just warm sensory boards for men to tweak and rub and learn about themselves and the world through. That would just, because that's exactly how it feels, right? You're just like a plaything. It made me laugh. Okay, women on daytime murder shows are always strangled or stabbed or chopped up for no reason at all. Except that they're women. So I guess to some men, that means they deserve it. Women are lucky to get shot, really. I'd rather be shot than strangled. Thank you, Son of Sam. You are uncharacteristically good to us. That's dark, man. That is dark. Humans like to put their mouths on the things they love. Okay. A good woman butchers her meat properly without cruelty. Oh, God. I can't breathe. It's too funny. Now, I've given this one 3 wet pants because I'm not done yet, but it's shaping up to be quite a gloriously funny book. It really is. This is full disclosure because I haven't read this book yet. But I have seen the movie. So when this book came up as a laugh out loud, hilarious book, I knew it must have been true because the movie was really good. And it's called This Is Where I Leave You by Jonathan Tropper. Now, the death of Judd Foxman's father marks the first time that the entire Foxman clan has been congregated in years. There is, however, one conspicuous absent, Judd's wife, Jen, whose affair with his radio shock jock boss has recently become painfully public. Simultaneously mourning the demise of his father and his marriage, Judd joins his dysfunctional family as they reluctantly sit shiver and spend 7 days and nights under the same roof. Now, the week quickly spins out of control as long-standing grudges surface, secrets are revealed, and an old passions are reawakened. Then Jen delivers the clincher. She's up the duff. Now, I'm going to try and convince you to read this one based on some of the quotes that I found online, okay? And I thought they were kind of good. This one was, I may not be old, but I'm too old to have this much nothing. That one was funny, but painfully true for most adults, I think. You know what I mean? Oh, God. And even if you didn't fall in love in the 80s, in your mind, it will feel like the 80s. All innocent and airbrushed with bright colors and shoulder pads and Pat Benatar or The Cure on the soundtrack. Now, that one kind of resonated with me too. And it wasn't like funny, funny, ha ha, but like chuckle, chuckle, you know, meh. A good speech is like a woman's skirt. Short enough to hold your attention and long enough to cover the subject. I think that's my new favorite quote of all times. I'm sorry. You wait until I cackle like a witch, you're going to hate that. Driving a Porsche is like fucking a model, he says. And he would know. It will never feel as good as it looks. Now, I do have this book coming up. I have a library hold. So I am going to read it. I am, because even just those quotes were enough for me. You know what I mean? So for right now, it has a 3 wet pants rating. So the next book in the Piss Your Pants Funny is Battersea Parker by Jimmy Todeschi. Now, this one was recommended to me and I laughed so hard I couldn't breathe. Like, I was like doubled over and my face was bright red. I could not breathe. Okay. So it's about this man. His name's Malcolm and he's a man in his mid-30s. Very tall and quite handsome too. He's also a successful manager of a restaurant. He has money in the bank and is a bachelor looking for true love. Would he still be an eligible bachelor though if he was still a virgin? Would he still be desired if he wore spectacles and was a little bit of a geek? Truth is, Malcolm is a wonderful man, but he seriously lacks confidence. He's been in love with the same woman for 3 years, yet she doesn't even know it, and people would rather bully him than offer him a real friendship. Now, Malcolm leads a very dull and routine-driven life. However, that's about to change with the introduction of Dexter, a South Londoner with enough swagger, nerve, and craziness for the both of them. Now, this is about an adult who has one desire to be somebody, followed by his dream to become a nobody again. It's pretty funny because he wants to be seen, and then when he's seen, I don't want to be seen. You know what I mean? So now I was reading the book and I didn't think to write down quotes. So what I did was I went and found some of Jimmy, the author's quotes, on other works that he's done in hopes that you'll give him a shot with all his work, okay? In Lucy's eyes, a penis that doesn't grow is a very ungrateful penis. How come every time I read a book and one of my characters says something remotely offensive, do people stick that quote next to my bloody name on social media? I didn't bloody say it, did I? You know what? He's very funny. The author is very, very funny. Isn't it weird when you trace over your footsteps to find something out, yet the footsteps only lead you straight back to the same confusing place you started in? Yeah, it does. Now, this one's my favorite. Okay. Remember, anyone can have car sex, yet it takes a truly active sexual imagination to make that car have sex with you too. The Americans call it first base, second base, third base, don't they? I call it first gear, second gear, and reverse. Oh my God, this guy is hilarious, okay? I highly recommend giving him a shot. I just requested his whole back catalog on Libby, so he is definitely a 4.5 wet pants, okay? Whew. Okay. So the next book is Nothing to See Here by Kevin Wilson. Now, I had read this one years ago, okay? Like somebody recommended it to me before and I read it. And I actually forgot all about it until somebody mentioned it. And I know that doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement, but honestly, I read so many bloody books. I've probably read thousands since I read it. So this book is about Lillian and Madison. And they were unlikely roommates and yet inseparable friends at their elite boarding school. But when Lillian had to leave the school unexpectedly in the wake of a scandal, they've barely spoken since then. Until now, when Lillian gets a letter from Madison pleading for help. Madison's twin stepkids are moving in with her family. And she wants Lillian...
from Stacey's MacBook Air.
I swear to God, okay? Enough already. Ding, ding, ding. So Madison's twin stepkids are moving in with her family and she wants Lillian to be their caretaker. However, there's a catch. The twins spontaneously combust when they get agitated. Flames igniting from their skin in a startling but beautiful way. Lillian is convinced Madison is pulling her leg. But it's true! Thinking of her dead-end life at home, the life that she's consistently disappointed in, Lillian figures she has nothing to lose. Over the course of one humid, demanding summer, Lillian and the twins learn to trust each other and stay cool, while also staying out of the way of Madison's buttoned-up politician husband. Surprised by her own ingenuity, yet unused to the intense feelings of protectiveness she now feels for the twins, Lillian ultimately begins to accept that she needs these strange children as much as they need her. Urgently and fiercely. Couldn't this be the start of the amazing life she always hoped for? It's a really bizarre and quirky story. Like, really. Really weird, but it was funny. Now, if the synopsis hasn't convinced you to read it yet, I'm going to give you some of the quotes from the book. We just rode in silence the rest of the way. The radio playing easy listening that made me want to slip into a hot bath and dream about killing everyone I knew. Been there. Not recently, but you know, has happened on occasion. Being rich, of course, meant it was easier to just keep getting what you wanted. It took less and less effort to keep it. Now, this quote wasn't funny, but it kind of was amusing in the way it was written in the book. So you have to read the book to see how that fits in. Sorry, my dog's mental. And how easy do you think it is to obtain it? Like, do you think I could just find child size of Nomex clothing at Walmart? Like for tiny firefighters, I'm having to get it altered. It's complicated. I'm being pushed to my limits in terms of thinking of creative ways about our situation. Okay, so I gave that one 3 wet pants. Now, this next one, it was a hard one to pick just one book for, okay? Because Fanny Flagg is always a really good time and she writes really quirky, funny books. But in the end, I did go with Fried Green Tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe. Now, this one is a classic, okay? It's a novel about two women, Evelyn, who is in the sad slump of middle age, and gray-haired Mrs. Threadgood, who is telling her life story. Now, her tale includes two more women, the irrepressibly daredevilish tomboy, Iggy, and her friend Ruth, who back in the 30s ran a little place in Whistle Stop, Alabama, offering good coffee, southern barbecue, and all kinds of love and laughter, even an occasional murder. And as the past unfolds, the present will never be quite the same again. Now, this book was hilarious, okay? I read it a very long time ago, and I'm definitely due a reread. And I think that's something I'm going to do because I'd forgotten just how funny her books were. Like when I went through and was reading like chapters. So here's some quotes in hopes to convince you to give this book a shot. Okay. Are you a politician? Or does lying just run in your family? That one literally, I laughed so hard that I spat my drink out and there was water everywhere, okay? So I don't recommend like trying to drink and read at the same time. So this one's like, Oh, it don't make no kind of sense. Big old ox like Grady won't sit next to a collar child, but he eats eggs shot right out of a chicken's ass. Oh, God. Dying, man. Dying. Okay. It's funny when you're a child, you think time will never go by. But when you hit about 20, time passes like you're on the fast train of Memphis. I can't breathe. My sides are hurting. Oh, my God. Like, it's so freaking funny, okay? This one definitely gets four wet pants, okay? Four wet pants. I can't. I'm trying really hard not to witch cackle because I have the most atrocious laugh, okay? The most atrocious laugh. Okay. Whew. So next on the agenda is A Not So Meet Cute by Megan Quinn. Now, Megan Quinn, she's one of those authors that's really hit or miss for me. Some of her books are just like, ugh. But this one really had me laughing out loud, okay? So what is it about? How did you two meet? The quintessential question asked to every couple. And the answer is usually something bubbly or lovey-dovey, a tale of being stuck in a bum by Cupid's arrow. Now, my meet-cute, well, not so meet-cute, is slightly different. I was trolling a wealthy neighborhood in Beverly Hills, searching for someone to take me as their bride, you know, to make my arch nemesis jealous, who, consequently, had just fired me. He was stomping around the block like some sort of gorgeous ogre, mumbling about a business deal gone wrong and attempting to finagle his way out of it. And that's when we bumped into each other. Now, there was no sparks, not even a hint of blossoming love. But next thing I knew, I was scoffing down free trips and guacamole, listening to this man lay out all of his problems, which led to his big ask. He wanted me to be his Vivian Ward, you know, like the chick from Pretty Woman, minus the frisky behavior. We're talking about living in a mansion, intimate double dates, and pretending we were head over heels in love and engaged. Can you imagine? The absolute audacity. But people do crazy things when they're desperate. And I reeked of desperation. So I struck up a deal. My one big mistake, though, big, huge. I accidentally fell for Huxley Kane. Okay. Now, if these quotes don't convince you to read this book, yeah, there's something severely wrong with you. Okay. It's on. You're so narcissistic. Confident, he says. A cockhole. Brows raised. What the hell is a cockhole? Cocky asshole. Therefore, you're a cockhole. That was my favorite. I think cockhole is going to be my new word. Yes. Pushing past him, I say, crawl up your own scrotum and drown. Team Jacob or Team Edward? Side note, glitter dick all day, every day. Okay. Did Lottie blow it last night? She did not. She didn't blow one fucking thing, if you catch my drift. Okay. I gotta stop because I can't. I just can't. I could keep going on that book all day freaking long. Now, that one was probably Five wet pants rating. Like, I had tears streaming down my face. I was laughing so hard. Okay. So this is the last book. Did You Find Everything You Were Looking For by T.W. Bristol. So B-lister adjacent Hollywood screenwriter Tess Bristol isn't happy. Nothing in her life is turning out the way she thought it would. But what if she makes big changes and things only get worse? How can she know which way to go? Maybe she should just start from scratch. Tess surprises herself by grabbing a simple summer job at a famous food market that is known for its culinary adventures. It's supposed to be the second happiest place on earth after Disneyland. So why does it bring with it a creepy boss, Mean Girls, and a couple of sincere but wacky admirers. Yappers, things just got worse. Add those issues to the list, a lost dog, a lot of exquisite lingerie, and that guy back in Texas, and life gets increasingly complicated. Why is it so hard to figure out what will make her happy? One thing she knows for sure. She will have to get brave first. How brave can one girl be? So, I own this book. But before I started recording, I hadn't gotten around to reading it yet because I'm a little behind with my reading. But this book was literally recommended in my Facebook group like almost 20 times within the span of 5 minutes. And I'm hoping it is as funny as these people are making it out to be. Now, from my understanding, from what I flicked through, it's a first-person story. And it's done in such a way that it feels almost autobiographical in nature. Like, I had a skim. Like, I could see how it was written. You can tell by the tone it's going to be like a quick, snappy voice. And you can see that they had, like, journal entries in there. Now, I've only skimmed, like I said. I haven't read it properly yet. So I don't have any quotes to convince you. And I couldn't find any online. But the reviews on Goodreads, like, you can tell the people thought this book was hilarious. So I'm excited. Hopefully, it's going to be a four wet pantser. Now, what book made you laugh out loud? Did I name it? If I didn't, let me know in the comments because I'm adding funny books to my repertoire, right? Now, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please give me a hit on that subscribe button, youtube.com/@therightkindofbooktalk. Give me a follow on TikTok, which is @right.kind.book.talk. Instagram, @therightkindofbooktalk. I do have a Facebook page. I add all kinds of stuff on there. It's not just podcast related, but it is all bookish. And that's @rightkindbooktalk. Now, you can always email me, okay? therightkindofbooktalk@gmail.com. I'm always looking for feedback because right now, like, I get a little bit of feedback, but you kind of, like, leave me to flipper out there. I don't know if there's more of something else you want to see, a topic you want covered, or maybe you don't like something. I don't know, and I'm still doing it because you ain't saying nothing, okay? Now, you can always find The Right Kind of Book Talk on Spotify, Apple Music, RSS, Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Amazon. Like, you can pretty much find it anywhere that there's a podcast. I now have a link tree. And I have them all listed there. So that might be easy for you guys. Like, it's linked.tree, whatever it is, at The Right Kind of Book Talk. Now, if you give me a follow on any of my platforms and comment on the latest video, I'll enter you into a draw, okay? And if you can convince a friend to go subscribe to my YouTube, you could both be in with a chance of winning. Now, have the rating day that you deserve. And I will be back, hopefully quieter, next week. This is Stacey Wright signing off from The Right Kind of Book Talk. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Take care.